Yes, hello, I am Sol, this is Alex. We're not Peter Dudfield, sorry about that. He couldn't do it, so you've got us instead. We'll do our best. And yeah, we're going to be talking to you today about our open source global solar forecast and dashboard. And we're going to do it in this order. I'll talk a bit about who we are and why we think we can do this, and then I will hand over to my far more talented colleague who will tell you about the actual meat of the matter. So, without further ado, who are we? Well, we're two members of Open Climate Fix. We're a non-profit open source startup, and we work primarily on renewable energy forecasting. So we do solar forecasts, we do wind forecasts, we do cloud forecasts. You say cloud forecasts, they're not renewable energy. I know, but we forecast them anyway because we love it. We love forecasting so much.
It is actually useful, I promise.
Yeah. We'll come to that. And we do this to try and reduce emissions in the UK, CO2 emissions. And how do we reduce emissions? Why do we do solar forecasting? Why does that help? Well, the idea is solar is growing, right? It's going to be the biggest, the most used form of electricity generation by 2040. It's huge. We love to see it. But there's a problem with solar. We know it. It's fickle, right? The clouds are there. It doesn't work as well. If there's pollution in your atmosphere, it doesn't work as well. If your panel's on upside down, it doesn't work at all. At night time, it goes away, right? It's hard. So we thought that there was something there where we could save a lot of CO2 by basically making it more accurate. Because imagine if you're running a grid and your grid is made up of mostly solar. It's 2040. We're living in the future. And there's a big error bar between your generation that you think you have and what you actually have because the solar's fickle, like I say. It makes it hard to balance your grid. The demand spike that you're trying to match doesn't line up with the generation that you have. You get a blackout. So that's what happens here in the UK. We basically we have these big gas turbines, and they are always running. They're always releasing CO2. And they can be turned up when the solar isn't quite what we thought it would be. And that's bad for the environment. So we say, okay, if we can provide a really accurate solar forecast, then we can tell that the grid operators, there's going to be this much at this time, they can line it all up and they can turn these off altogether. And that saves CO2, which is brilliant. And so that's what we did. We built a model, PVNet, we trained it on a load of data, and we provide that to the national grid. And we have this lovely forecast, and they use that in their operation room. And it's quite hard to tell how well it's working because there's a lot of decisions in the tree, but we think we're saving a lot of CO2 already in the UK, and they seem to like it. So that all works well. But obviously this is an open source conference. We want to make this kind of utility of solar forecasts available to as many people as we can. So how do we take something like PVNet, which is big, which is kind of run as a service, it's hard to contribute to, how do we take that and how do we make it more readily available, less UK-centric, more contributor-friendly, and that's where we thought the idea of the global solar forecast, which is what Alex will now tell you about.
Thank you.
Over to you.
Thank you. Yes, so something Sol has already touched upon, we have something that works quite well for the UK, but it is quite bulky, so the dream would be to provide accurate solar forecasts for everybody, everywhere, whoever needs it. If you want to forecast for your solar panel at home to know when to charge your car, if you want to run an energy grid somewhere else that is not the UK, which is a very normal thing to do. And obviously there's 14 of us. We can't do it alone. So the obvious solution was to take it open source and hopefully get people to contribute, and then we can together build the beautiful solar punk future that will eventually arrive, hopefully. I'm not going to go into the whole why open source is great spiel. I know which conference I'm at. So it started with us creating Open Quartz, which is the lightweight version of what we do in the UK. It's a smaller ML model. It just runs on free open weather forecasts. It's wrapped into a Python library. You can download it and run it off your laptop. Just tell it something about your assets. As advertised in four lines of code, you might have seen this picture before because we've presented Open Quartz in 2024 at FOSDEM. So maybe some of you have been here. And initially, this doesn't read on this projector at all, but this is a map, I promise. Eventually it was a replacement for the UK service, so an open UK service. But people started using it in other countries and telling us about it, and we have this tracker of little flags when people tell us about them using it somewhere else on our GitHub page. And we decided to put a wrap around it to take it global as well. So this is what the global forecaster is. It takes center points for each country, gets the capacity for it, produces a forecast 48 hours ahead for solar power in the country, and there is a beautiful UI on top of it, which is quite fun to explore, which we are going to do now. Come along and let's see if we can crash that thing. Maybe we did. Ooh. Yeah. My bad.
The book of death.
Yeah, okay, maybe not a demo today. That's very sad. I should have done that beforehand. Okay, well, it's waking up. Let me talk about how we expect it to be used and how you can get involved. So again, obviously we can't do it by ourselves, and this is very much a work in progress. It's under the hood, it runs Open Quartz, which has been trained on UK site data, so basically solar rooftop panels, generation from that. So it might not perform as well in different geographies. And we also don't really know how it's doing in different geographies. We have some benchmarking for the UK, but not for anywhere else. And yeah, so if somebody knows of other generation data that we can get access to train a model wider, or wants to train a different model, you can swap them in and out in the Open Quartz, wants to help us benchmark it. Just if you use it, please tell us. If you don't, and it's because there is some feature that you would like us to have, also please tell us, maybe we'll add it. Maybe it works now, no?
You're
loading
the mic.
Oh boy, I do apologize. Oot.
Hello.
Hello. Is it the wig? Oh, yay! Okay. So, no. It takes a bit to forecast for the entire world. Please forgive us. I don't think we'll maybe have time to have a little look, but if you do get time in your free time, it does look kind of cool. Please take a look.
Anyone bike in this morning? My mom.
Yeah. Maybe I can tell you why cloud forecasting is useful while we're waiting for this to load. We use satellite imagery in our model. It tends to tell you quite well, tell you a lot about where the clouds are, and that obviously helps with solar energy. But unfortunately, you can only have satellite data in the past. So we started forecasting satellite data into the future to see where the clouds are going to be in the future. Okay, speedy run through. So we have this fun chart, which will...
There you go.
Okay, so this is the solar generation for the entire world. And you can see who's contributing the most at any given point. I was going to do a pop quiz to ask which country contributes this giant blue spikes, but it's obviously China, no prizes for that one. Fun fact about this is at 15-minute resolution, and at peak, there is enough solar power produced in the entire world to power the entire world for 15 minutes, which is nice. And then this is what we had a sneak peek of before. So this is how much is forecasted in each country, and we can normalize it by the country's capacity. If I can hit the button, yes. So instead of gigawatts, you can see the percentage of the assets that are utilized, which is a lot easier to see for different countries on the same scale, and you can also see where the sun is at any given point. You can click into a country, have a forecast for that one specifically. Oh, thank God it works. also see the capacities for the world. Dictionary capacity. Yeah, there's this nice table. We've added maybe 20 or 40 of these. The rest was done by the open source contributors, and also somebody transformed our very lame 2D map into the globe that you've just seen, which was very cool. And there is some documentation. I don't know how to work a Mac, please forgive me, that you could have read instead of listening to me, but I can drive this as well. An illustrated guide. Okay, so hopefully I can go. Yay, okay, thank you very much for listening. Sorry for some technical difficulties. Please find us, please connect with us, please contribute to us. Thank you for having us. Questions?
There are two questions from the internet.
Oh, nice.
One from Wookie is trying to work with your API. And so
Wookie asks who to talk to about with problems talking to the Quad Solar API. He's trying to access the API.
Okay.
And has some errors and wants to.
Okay. Well, I don't think I can debug this in real time, but do email us. There is a support doc. There should be an email in the docs.
The second question is, are grid operators using this?
Are grid operators using this in production? And it's the UK TSO, right?
Yeah, so our main model, PVNet, is a bit of a beast. So we run a service in real time for the UK National Grid. They do use it in the control room to have an idea of how much solar is going to be forecast, what is going to be there in the country. It is definitely used. Open Quartz, I think we forecast for a couple of people as well with solar farms. I hope that answers this. Cool. Oh, I have a hand there. The question was, can I tell everyone around about clouds and what the granularity of the forecast is? I will not remember the granularity spatially off the top of my head. Temporally, I think it's 5-minutely, maybe 15-minutely, depending on the service that is used in the model. I'm sorry, this is not my project.
It's based on the EUMETSAT, MESIOSAT data, so whatever the granularity that is. In terms of spatial resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a follow-up? I don't know if I talked enough. Okay. Please.
A small sort of follow-up on that. I've heard in Australia of a system that uses real-time data from individual rooftops to do quite local cloud forecasts, you're going to get a cloud in 10 minutes because 4 miles away you just saw a cloud.
Yeah, so the question was, in Australia there is a system that uses rooftop solar generation data in real time to see if there's a cloud in your neighborhood, and then it's moving towards you, if I understand this correctly. Yeah, and if we're doing something similar or thinking of doing something similar. So yeah, actually my journey at OCS started with a master's project that did something similar. We tried to get the solar farms, get the data from neighboring solar sites to contribute to the model. The problem is in a live service, you can't really rely on the quality of data, unfortunately, in the UK. And it cuts out, not everybody reports it. So, yeah. And in PVNet, in our main model, we don't actually put in live data because of that reason. There's just not, there isn't a reliable stream.
We've thought about Skycrammers on and off, but never got around to it.
Yes, please. Sorry, what was the? We've had people talk to us about how fog is an issue. We're not doing anything fog related at the moment, as far as I know. There's always too much to do, but it's kind of on the list somewhere.
We take from the NWP data, we take a visibility parameter, and that has some of the fog, you know, encoded in it, but not in terms of satellite.
Yeah, so it goes into the model as like a data stream, hopefully, like a variable that captures it. Time's up, I'm told. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.